The reading is found in Romans chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Amen. Thank you, Gail.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the way that you speak to us. And you've spoken to us this morning, Lord. And we just pray that, Lord, Holy Spirit, you come and speak into our hearts. Come and unite us with yourself so that we can not only understand what's being said, but apply what's being said to our lives. That we can actually realize what the freedom we have in you is. So, Lord, I pray you take these words that you place on my heart and reach out in the hearts of everyone here this morning. Amen. Well, we continue our series in Romans. And we've got to Romans 8, verses 1-17. And I've entitled this morning, Free with No Condemnation. Now, I came across a book called Steal Away Home. I don't know if you've ever read this before, but it's an amazing book. It's about two unlikely friends, Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher, and a chap called Thomas Johnson. And it's about on their passage to freedom. And I just wanted to read a small extract from this book, just to set the scene. It says, Thomas Johnson knew injustice. He was a slave. And slaves were commodities publicly sold at auction, often ripped apart from parents. Thomas never knew his father. He was often mistreated, tied to the whipping post and beaten with a three-pronged whip on his shoulders, lower back and buttocks. He knew that shame. He longed for freedom. He longed for the place where boys could run and roam without fear, without struggle, without whippings. But as he lay within a hardened bed frame in the corner of a clapboard shack on a tobacco plantation in Virginia, he swore heaven was a place to sing about, but never reach. But Thomas Johnson lived in the real world, one ruled by men like Quentin Ellis, who made sure freedom was enjoyed only by white men. Thomas was in a desperate situation. Thomas was a slave. He was in bondage, caged, and the property of another man. The master and foreman held absolute power over him. He had no rights, no voice, no recourse, no future. The depth of this reality consumed him. It was slowly suffocating what little hope he held. After 2 decades of this, Thomas hardly felt human anymore. One night, he decided, "I'm going to escape." It was an idea that had consumed his thoughts since childhood. 2 things held him back: fear of getting caught and not knowing what he would do once he was free. But as he escaped, he came across something he didn't expect: a group of slaves worshipping Jesus. He was captivated. Ezekiel, one of the slaves, turned to Thomas and spoke words that completely changed the direction of his life. Jesus sets slaves free. He may not take away the chains from your hands and your feet. He may never let you off this plantation. But Jesus will do something even better than that. He will take off the chains from your heart. Jesus sets slaves free. He will take off the chains from your heart. That's what I want us to look at today. That's what we're going to look at today. You see, according to the Bible, we're all in slavery. Not the same kind of slavery as Thomas Johnson, but slavery nonetheless. But Jesus said, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." John 8, verse 34. When Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome, it's estimated that 1/3 of the population were slaves. Many of those who were free had once been slaves. The thing about being a slave back then is that you wouldn't have been able to tell who was a slave and who was not. And that's our condition today. The Bible says that the natural condition of every person alive is slavery to sin. And Paul writes in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The main idea of being slaves to sin is that sin is our master. And we like to think that we are self-determined, we're self-determined and that we have this choice of how to live. But the reality, according to God, is the exact opposite. We lack freedom. Yet the good news is, as this passage tells us, we can be set free from slavery to sin. So the words that changed Thomas's life can change ours too. Jesus sets slaves like us free. And for slaves like us, the message of Romans 8 is very good news. Today I want to answer one simple question. What does God offer us through the good news of what Jesus has done? And the answer comes in 2 parts. The first part is God offers us freedom from condemnation. Freedom from condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1 may be one of the most important verses in the Bible, in what might be the greatest chapter of the Bible. Listen to these words and let them wash over you. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let the truth of that verse sink into the depths of your being. No condemnation. Condemnation is a legal decision of guilt, along with an ensuing punishment attached. According to the Bible, all of us are guilty before God. We've all sinned. We have all violated God's standards. It doesn't matter who you are or how good you are. We've all been found guilty, and the punishment is death. The good news, according to this verse, is that although we're guilty, those who trust in Jesus are declared not guilty. Not guilty. For they are free from condemnation, from the guilty verdict, from the punishment, and from the servitude that goes with sin. We are free. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death, says verse 2 of this passage. God took the initiative to do what we couldn't. This law of sin and death stated that all who sin must die. There was nothing we could do to escape this punishment. We deserved it. But then God found a way to rescue us. He sent his son Jesus. And Jesus was given over to death as a sacrifice to take away our problem of sin, our sin problem. Because he was condemned in our place, there was no longer any condemnation for us. If we're in Jesus, we are free. We no longer live under condemnation. Our sins, past, present, and future, have been dealt with by Jesus. We can live the rest of our lives in the light of that freedom from condemnation. But let's be honest here. We don't always feel like that, do we? I mean, free from condemnation. Sometimes we feel the weight of condemnation and shame. Perhaps we feel like we never measure up. Or we should be doing something more. We feel like God is endlessly disappointed with us. But in response to those thoughts and feelings, we need to hear those words again. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian, then let this wash over you. You no longer have to dread any condemnation. No more guilt. No more shame. Because Jesus sets slaves free. He takes the chains from your heart, allowing you to spend the rest of your life living in that reality. The truth is, in Jesus Christ, God offers us freedom from condemnation as we place our faith in him. But that's not all, because the second part of this is that God offers us a new way to live. When we come to faith, God doesn't just free us from condemnation. He gives us everything we need to live from that point on. And that's what verses 5 to 17 are all about. Paul says that God has not just changed us from guilty to not guilty, but he's given us everything we need to grow as he gives us a new way to live. He does this by giving us a new mindset. Those who live according to the sinful nature, says verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. When we follow Jesus, he gives us a new mindset. All of a sudden, we begin to think differently. Because the Holy Spirit within us directs our thoughts to God and what pleases him. He sends a fire. He sends a fire in us that changes us from within. So that we not only have a new mindset, but have an assurance of our future as well. God gives us, who are in Christ, hope. You know, this past week I was talking to someone who was imagining the worst case scenarios about the future. They were thinking about the worst case scenarios, but what if so and so happens, and what if this happens? And do you know, I've been there. We can all be there. We think about the worst case scenario, and it's easy to imagine all the things that can go wrong. Especially when we feel like the future is in our hands. But Paul reassures us that if we are in Christ, the Spirit now dwells within us, and the future is not now dependent on us. Our future is dependent on what Jesus has done. For what Jesus has done on the cross gives us an assurance, a blessed hope for the future and for eternity. Let me read to you verse 11 again. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I put a little sad face on my page here. Because here's the truth about you and me. It's not very good. We will continue to struggle in this life. That's why it often feels like we're still under condemnation. And one day we will die. But God promises that he will raise our bodies up just as he did Jesus' body. And one day we will be fully and finally alive and free. Our future couldn't be more secure. And there's even more. For I need to tell you, if you are a follower of Christ, it's because God has deliberately chosen you. He's deliberately chosen you. He cares about you so much that he's brought you into his family. Imagine that. He's given you his name. He's filled you with his Spirit and made you free. Free from condemnation. Just as verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I began by telling you about Thomas. You heard these words. Jesus sets slaves like us free. He may not take away the chains from your hands and your feet. He may never let you off this plantation, but Jesus will do something even better than that. He will take off the chains from your heart. Thomas Johnson heard those words, and something happened inside of him. A flood of relief gently pushed years of anguish and grief from his young heart. His eyes released a flood of joyful tears as Thomas felt like he was sitting right next to this man, Jesus, the one who could finally set him free from the bondage that his heart held. There in Ezekiel's shack, in the middle of the darkened slave quarter, surrounded by the gentle whisper songs, beneath a clouded night sky, Thomas believed. That's what happened to Thomas. It's a true story. And everyone who comes to Jesus can experience the same thing. Jesus sets slaves like us, slaves to sin, free. Jesus takes the chains from our heart when we believe and put our faith and trust in Him. For there is truly no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right, please don't wonder those. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for those words. In some ways, they've been a challenge to write this week. Because, Lord, it's a truth that the enemy, the devil, doesn't want us to grasp. As far as he's concerned, we are under every single pressure, under our circumstances, and he doesn't want us to be free. So he keeps our minds in this place where we think that we are under condemnation. Things will never get better. But Lord, that's not what your word says. And we want to claim that for ourselves today, Lord. That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we claim that as a promise to each of us here this morning. That Lord, you would allow us to live from this point worshipping you as free. Free from all condemnation because of what Jesus has done on the cross through his death and his resurrection. We are free. Free from sin. Help us to live in that truth and in that victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As our closing hymn, I'd like us to sing "And Can It Be?" I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood. And there's a lovely verse that says, "My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed them." No condemnation. No condemnation. Let's stand and sing.